as Podlord, I get final say. Is that how this works?
Shocker, boys and girls, I don't usually prepare very well.
So, Matt, why do you hate Annie?
Continue to say I hate you both for making me not be able to binge watch the show. Say I love the Disco Spider.
Woo!
For the Sugar Bear.
For the Sugar Bear.
Oh, so I'll take it.
Smarter than the average bear.
G'day and welcome back. We are the Greendale Human Podcasters and flashback. 1 week earlier. My name is still Jack and I'm coming to you from home of the Wurundjeri people here in Melbourne. This week I'm joined by just Brad.
Yes, not Matt, just Brad. Coming to you from the home of the Yugra and Yugarabul people here in Ipswich, Queensland.
Because Matt apparently has a job interview tomorrow, which is more important than hanging out with us. And it's for a government job, so I'm sure someone's already a shoo-in for it and they're just advertising for the sake of it. But he's got his hopes up, so apparently that's more important than this. We are also, the reason it's a flashback 1 week earlier is because our episodes are out a week.
Yes.
As you could probably tell if you read the title of this episode, you're not misreading things. It is episode 10, and we are out a week. We couldn't make it work with our guest Chad this weekend, just with timing and events and stuff. So we have put him on hold so that he can have his episode that he requested. We'll do that next week, episode 9, and then we're doing episode 10 this week. So slight disclaimer there while we're out of order. But yeah, Brad.
Therefore, have you flashback been? 1 week earlier.
Correct.
Been a pretty interesting week of sorts. Can't remember anything actually. So I think we have said this in the past. So I can't remember. I am now a partner at the accounting firm I work at. I am actually officially now a partner.
Hey, so, cha-ching.
And so comes with it all of the issues. Like, no joke, I sat down at my desk. We just did our major software update to get the new tax returns. I sat down at my desk at 20 past 8. Someone was at my door at 8:30 saying, yeah, tax returns don't work. What do you want to do? Just looked at my watch going, I've only been here 10 minutes.
I haven't even had my coffee yet.
I can't make this decision yet. Jesus. Yes, good start. Good start. And fair enough. For the record,
you know what to fix that? Better internet company.
For the record, the tax returns still don't properly work, so... Woo!
Oh, really? Oh, that's not great.
Yeah. It's a software provider issue, so it's going to get fixed in the next 6 to 9 business months.
Great. Gets fixed when it gets fixed.
Yeah, pretty much. There's a workaround, but I don't want to be there when
the workaround is the old system.
Well, no, we can't because we can't do current year stuff in the old one. So there is a workaround, but I'm not there tomorrow, so I don't want to be there when the first person goes to lodge a 2023 tax return and it crashes the whole system. So I'm not there. I'm a leaf.
So you're specifically working from home tomorrow for that reason?
No. I'm off to a friend's wedding.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So,
congratulations. Yeah. You're marrying your friends.
No. All right. So the way it worked out, I lucked into a day off probably at the right time when it comes to computer software issue that is my responsibility now. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
How's your How was your week, Jack? I have
been up to everything. I've been tired. There is far too much sport on, and it's all, well, most of it is on the other side of the bloody world. So
yes.
Oh, the tour has started this week. Wimbledon is on. There is currently the Ashes. One test has finished and another has started just as we record.
Started, yeah.
It is Thursday night here, just for reference. But yeah, so there's cricket on again. Formula One was last week. I think there's another race this weekend.
There is.
Yeah, so there's more Formula One this weekend. Plus, there's all the regular football that I normally watch. Yeah, and we're back playing again this week. We actually got the other team forfeited last week. I'm pretty sure I mentioned that. I'm pretty sure that news came before we recorded. So I had a week off and got to rest my ankle, which I'm very happy about. But tired. Way too tired. But my favourite stage of the Tour de France is coming up tonight because it's got the Col du Tourmalet. And, I love the, bit of a sadist. I love watching them go up the mountains. So
I was going to say, is that the hill climbs? Because I don't mind the hill climbs either.
Yeah.
It's, for me...
Yeah. I love watching the hill climbs. I don't like doing them.
No, not doing them. For me, yeah, the hill climbs and the sprints as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, big fan of the tour. I just love watching it. So, yeah, that's kind of what has been going on in my world. Plus work. Work has been super busy because I actually have next week off. I'm taking the lovely pod lady. We're going to a spot called Dalesford in Victoria, country Victoria. And we're planning on not doing a whole bunch. There is two spas in our little one-bedroom thing. There is one in like the regular shower, bathroom sort of area. And there's also one with a big sliding open door that you can just open up to the elements and just admire the view and hang out. So I plan on having a spa most days. We're getting a massage one day. There's a lovely... We went to the same spot last year if you've been listening for a while. Slightly different accommodation this time, but same rough place. And we're looking forward to going. And there's a lovely little wine bar there that I cannot wait to get back to. So cheese and wine. Very I found nice. A small goods place. There's a chocolate place. Oh, there's so many places. And I just want to go and become a fat guy. I'm going to look like Matt next week.
Oh, jeez.
Come back, roll back into the podcast.
Jeez, yeah. With small goods, yeah, that'd be good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love it. So, cheese, wine, bottle of gin. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be delicious. So, we booked a table at a place where you just don't know what you're going to get. It's kind of like it's a four-course meal. And they will give you whatever they have that night.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome.
But that's all that's going on in my world. Like I said, Matt's going for a job. That's all that's going on in his world, apparently. And all that's going on in his tiny little head. Apparently, he can only do one thing at once, Brad. How does that feel as a boss? If you are, you could only do one thing at a time.
I have very little patience for inefficiencies, and that just screams inefficiency.
So we are talking about efficiency. Let's jump into the episode.
Let's do it.
And Jesus wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer.
Bit of a heavy Dean episode, this one. We start this week's episode not in the study room, but sitting in silence, crammed into an RV, winding through the mountain roads of Colorado with a 19-foot fiberglass hand tied to the roof. And our bed starts with 3 weeks earlier. Catches Frankie off guard. And then Abed has to explain the whole 3 weeks earlier thing. you know, how this whole crazy scene came to be. Then he narrates it based on exactly what I just said. Anyway, so Jeff wants to know if Elroy has any booze in his RV, because they are literally in Elroy's house.
Yes. which Annie does happen to point out and get a little bit melancholy about.
Yeah, Elroy doesn't like it because, yeah, he's standing in his living room, kitchen, and bedroom. So he yells at to Jeff for going through his stuff. And he says, well, never thought about it, but your backyard is 24,900 miles long because it's the circumference of the earth because you have no home. Oh, does anyone else need some water? just digs a hole with her mouth. Abed continues on with his intriguing thing, because, you know, he thinks that one of them should maybe be visibly injured, so we all wonder what happened. You know, like if Britta had a black eye.
I like how she moves away.
Picking one of the girls to have a black eye is probably a bad start.
Yes, yes. But Britta does start to move away as he says that.
Yeah. Elroy asks the dean, if he can speak to him privately. Frankie says probably not, but yeah, he comes up to have a chat with Elroy.
When I agreed to hold this thing for you in the school, you didn't say anything about six people sitting back there.
Man, I wonder what they're talking about.
God, who knows? They're sealed off behind this soundproof vinyl.
I will drive my house off a cliff.
Elroy, we're not here to snoop or judge. You're not the first person to have dirty dishes, CD-ROM porn, and framed photos of yourself with two biracial teenagers in a park.
It's not that.
Wait. CD-ROM porn.
I may have miscalculated the mileage.
Darn it, I want to hijack this RV, but I'm foiled by its impenetrable post-2001 security measures.
You keep driving, and nobody else needs to know about this, understand? The last thing we need is a panic.
What's going on? Are we out of gas?
Yes! It's on empty! It's on empty! Never seen anything like it. The needle.
It's not even close. Like, it's getting low.
There's no needle. It's gone.
Yeah, it's getting low.
The plastic, or maybe the engine tried to use it as a fuel.
Oh, stop yelling!
Well, stop being out of gas!
You're freaking me out!
You should be freaking out. I have been driving for 25 years, and I have never seen so little gas in my life.
Hey! Stop! Oh, stop! God, I'm yelling even louder, so you have to stop!
Brad, thoughts on low fuel?
Yeah, I usually try and run the gamut a bit. I let it get to zero, and then I'm like, yeah, I should probably go duck into a petrol station now.
I get under 100, you know, kilometers an hour-ish. Not at kilometers an hour, but like under kilometers to go. And normally I can get a little bit low, but They had still quite a while to go in terms of fuel.
They did. Yeah.
Like, they probably had, what, an eighth of a tank?
Yeah. Yeah. That's still probably about 50.
They're fine.
50 Ks or something like that.
Yeah. Surely quite a few miles.
Unless you're running the secondary battery as well off the petrol. In that tank, that might have a little bit of a different impact.
Well, I don't know, because the battery shouldn't have any idea, any, you know, thing on his fuel, because I don't see it as a
hot. Yeah, van. True.
It's an old van, but yeah, I can see it running down the battery. Anyway, so Jeff takes control. And he wants them to focus on what they can control. Is everyone's phone charged? Great idea. Everyone starts charging their phones straight away. Just like, see, we turn panic into preparedness. Now, if we do run out of gas, guess who's got fully charged phones? So everyone's pretty happy, except for Alroy, who immediately tells them all to stop charging their phones because it starts draining the battery way too quick. Everything's plugged in.
For the love of God, stop charging your phones.
The Dean enters the cockpit again and immediately shuts the vinyl. I love how he just shuts the vinyl again. Dean's like, what happened? Alroy immediately says, I'm not telling you. Fair enough. As he opens the vinyl up again and screams, we're gonna all gonna die.
We cut to
3 weeks earlier.
All in favor? And that solves the matter of the giant hand if there's no other business.
Yes, I'd like to move that we establish this moment as the opening for a flashback.
No, meeting adjourned.
I guess we're not doing the 3 weeks earlier thing.
Abed, insert dialogue here about you dropping the fourth wall shtick.
Nice.
Careful you don't flood it.
That's the fifth time you reminded me not to flood something.
I'm sorry, but it doesn't apply to our situation. I'm going to check the battery.
It's the fifth time he's told him not to flood it. I love it.
And then a little bit
Jeff
later
knows
when he tries
nothing
to
about
help
cars.
Elroy? Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly got no idea, but wants to be in control. I like Jeff out of his element.
Yeah.
So then Annie is on the phone to roadside assistance. Anyway, they ask her to hold, and she is not a fan of it. Frankie taught her that what you have to do is, when they put you on hold, hang up and call right back. As Frankie then comes in and is automatically put on hold, and then calls back and gets the same person straight away. So this goes on for a little bit about, they both go through this cycle a couple of times and get nowhere. It gets them nowhere. Because apparently...
That'd be awful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it would be. So what they need is a phone system like one we provide, where you can see what the caller ID is of the call, and you can choose whether or not you want to answer that call. So, if I'm on the phone with someone, and I put them on hold, and I see the call drop off, and them call back, I would just not answer that call.
No.
But that's just me.
Yeah.
Unless they call me at work.
I'd be the same.
I'd take that opportunity to go make a coffee. But that's just me. But have you heard, Brad, of Armed Forces Day?
No, it must be big in the States.
Apparently it's today. And it's really boning them because, you know, there's a parade, and all the tow trucks are all busy in the parade. But, the Dean wonders why they'd put it in May. It's just sitting right there behind Memorial Day's shadow, like military Hanukkah. Sure.
Okay.
There's a little bit of talk about that one. But yeah, so there's nothing within 200 miles. No tow trucks. Annie wonders whether the parade might come this way if we offer them instruments. Unlikely the parade will come via the mountain road. They're in the middle
exactly.
of nowhere. Apparently, Jeff puts in that nobody reroutes parades. Britta comments that they rerouted Kennedy's parade.
Yes.
Slightly dark.
I think the reason they did that, he was missing half of his skull and brain matter.
Yes, very dark.
But, at least she does say that that'll never work.
Yeah.
And she says we got britted, and yes, I use it too.
We did get britted. Yeah. Then we get then we go back to the dean.
I don't want anybody here blaming themselves for this. I want everyone blaming Frankie.
What?
No. She is the reason we are here. This is what happens when you make decisions outside the moment.
Whatever moment you were in the day you got on the internet and bought a gigantic hand, I am proud to remain outside until I die.
You will, baby. And this is where logic gets you. Stuck in a Rocky Mountain pass at sundown, gradually freezing to death and forced to decide somewhere in the backs of our heads, just in case, who we'd eat first. Annie, right?
What?
It's not a judgment. It's about biology.
What?
Craig, the hand currently crushing our lives
might eat Annie
is
first.
Not about being in the moment. You bought this thing. You can't return with money we don't have. Nobody knows why. And your latest idea is to put it on the
your wife listens
the
to this, dude.
Says, give a hand to your brain. Give your brain a hand. You're making it sound stupid on purpose. It's over, Craig. You are lucky to have Frankie. And you're lucky she was able to find some weirdo. Excuse me. Bigger weirdo on eBay willing to pay cash for it.
This is a lot of narrative pipe. Maybe we did need a 3 weeks earlier flashback.
Maybe they did. I love the play in the blame game. Great option. Yep.
Yeah.
Always works well.
It's funny though, because everyone knows it's the dean's fault. Straight up.
So then Jeff questions Abed about the whole, you know, show thing. Because he thought that he knew that it wasn't a show. Jeff, just like season two, you mean? I don't know. I can change my mind. So anyway, so this goes on about the show bit being dumb. And, you know, of course, Abed responds with the mature thing of, you're dumb. Jeff tells him to go back and sit by yourself. So then the bickering
time out.
Him punishing. Yeah. Being put in timeout, so that doesn't go well. So
he's allowed
Jeff
to come
continues
back.
About defending himself. Yeah. Well, he continues, you know, about why he doesn't like it. Is it a show? It's a show. It's a good show. It's a bad show. He's just sick of it. He doesn't want to hear about show. But he calls him back. Somewhat apologizes, but not really. Just actually, no, he doesn't apologize at all. But, yeah, so then Frankie wants to know, what the hell is that? Because, of course, they are. You know, they're just bickering, and she's not used to seeing this, but the rest of us are. However, at that moment, Elroy does come back from the battery being flooded.
The battery is dead.
Flooded?
Well, so help me God. The RV has two batteries, a primary and a secondary.
Secondary.
We overloaded the electrical system and killed the engine battery, so now the secondary battery has maybe 3 or 4 hours of juice.
Charge. Juice charge.
And we have a choice to make. And Jeff can explain that choice. So,
it's your RV.
This is my show. You didn't give a damn about that.
I bet we're all on your side. We're all on your side, Petty.
We could wait for a couple of hours and hope that the engine battery resets itself. If it doesn't, we're spending the night here. And at least we have the secondary battery to keep us warm for a few hours.
No, we're not spending the night here. So what's the second option, which I am nicknaming Lil Course of Action?
I rewire the secondary battery to the engine and hope it can start it. If it doesn't, we're spending a very cold night with two dead batteries.
Okay, let's switch the batteries then. Good democracy.
Are we sure the secondary battery won't just die too?
It's a possibility.
It exists.
Jeff is such a dick.
He really is.
Oh, I do love Elroy's ploy of that Jeff can explain, seeing as he knows so much about it, and he clearly wants to be in charge. Off you go, son.
Yeah. That was very funny. It's like Jeff, he doesn't even know if his own car is electric or petrol. No.
You got no idea. No. And they are like good democracy. Very dictatorish.
Yes.
But then Alroy, he's pretty confident that the second battery, which only powers the cabin, and we've kept the lights off, and it goes without saying that we all learned to stop charging our phones, didn't they? No, they all start looking at each other, and Alroy asks them where their phones are now. Still silence. He's starting to suspect the unthinkable. Because he thinks that there might be, and I quote, a cartoonish, vampirish orgy of personal devices somewhere in the RV, sucking away our remaining battery. Right, he only draws little comfort from the fact that nobody's running to unplug anything, because, you know, say nothing and he'll just turn the light switch to the on position and nothing. Nothing happens.
Nothing at all.
So he turns around and picks up a pile of device cords charging a whole bunch of different phones and things, including...
And a hairdryer.
Was it a hairdryer?
Yeah.
Was that thing on? Like, I know hairdryers draw a lot of power, but they draw no power if they're not on.
No. So I don't...
You'd hear a hairdryer. I
don't know. Yeah.
But yes. But I've got a good thing for you, Brad. There's a bright side to the whole situation.
Oh, yes.
The most conventional weapons don't require electricity.
It's
not ominous.
And he just says it so calmly too. It's like, oh, he's serious.
He's mad. So yeah, and he repeats, are you going to eat me first? God, I hope so.
No. No, I don't think she's first on the list, judging by who gets the smallest blanket.
Probably not. So they're all sitting around now. It's been a while. And the Dean is commenting on the crickets that you hear. You just hear chirping. And, you know, he thinks that this might be a challenging place to, you know, practice your stand-up. And then he starts on a few stand-up lines. Doesn't go very well. So Abed flashes back. He concentrates really hard and he flashes back 3 weeks earlier. All in favour? Yep, great. That solves the matter of the giant hand. If there is no other business, Abed then points out in his little flashback, if we're doing this, I'd like to reinstate the importance of someone telling this story with flashback. Jeff cuts him off and says, what do you mean by restate? Oh my God, I fell for it. Meeting adjourned. Done. And he's back. So then the Dean keeps trying his stand-up for a bit, and it doesn't go well. That's when he realises that he's dying up here. So Alroy is scaling the blanket rations, as Brad mentioned just before, inversely to the wattage of each person's phone. That way the person who killed us the most will die the soonest. It just feels right.
Right, Britta? Just this little sleeve.
Britta gets like a chamois. Like it's nothing. It's a hand towel almost. But Alroy so can't good. Go this angry being this angry all night, you know, heart attacks running his family and all. And apparently these guys aren't worth it. As he gives Britta a bigger blanket. Elroy causes the situation by not topping off the tank, he feels, and that vinyl accordion partition is a totem of distrust. So he's sorry for that too. So the sorry start. And Jeff's like, Elroy, that's very big of you. You know, for their part, they're also very sorry that charging their perfectly normal cell phones destroyed your weirdly fragile RV.
No.
Not the best apology.
No, and
he's really also sorry about that apology.
Yeah. If you're in someone else's car, you don't just go plugging in every device without asking first.
No, you don't, but I would have thought that if you're in an RV like that, they should be able to charge a couple of phones.
Yeah.
I feel it goes both ways.
Yeah.
However.
True, very true.
Abed is sorry that he's been unavailable. He's been trying to cut to a 3 weeks earlier bit, and it just doesn't really feel... He feels like he really need it. Britta also has something to apologize for. Because if you recall earlier, it seemed as though we drove through a skunk patch. Everyone noticed she was getting high. Everyone. Absolutely everyone. Well, Britta really thought she pulled that off. Clearly she didn't.
No.
And he's like, you thought that because you were high. You know, you also thought that we were speeding because you kept seeing the same bird.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's like working with Matt. So then Abed concentrates really hard again, and we get the all in favor bit. Then Abed cuts in with, of course, you know, just let me explain the need for a flashback here, and don't interrupt. Jeff's like, okay, one quick thing, and then you can talk about flashbacks forever. Meeting adjourned. Done. Back to reality. Jeff turns to Arben and says, when they cut to 3 weeks earlier on TV, they're not traveling in time. Anyway. And he thinks it's her time to apologize now, because she's had some time to think about it and has decided she's not sorry for... she's sorry for not asking what they wanted before buying all the snacks for the trip. Apparently that's the worst thing that she's done, because otherwise she thinks she's been absolutely nailing it.
She probably has.
Frankie thinks she has as well. Yeah. Frankie thinks that she shouldn't be yelling at the dean in front of any of you, because it's unprofessional. So that's her apology. And then they all turn to the dean. Who forgives them all for, and he doesn't really know what he's forgiving them for. He's just trying to go along with it.
It's a matter of the giant hand. If there's no other business.
In a normal road trip story, the first act would end with us deciding to go on the trip. The second act would be the trip ending with a disaster, and the third act would be us getting back. The problem is we've already decided to take this trip weeks from now, which means the story starts with us already on the road, which means the end of Act One won't be us going on the trip. It'll have to be the disaster, which means something even worse has to happen in Act Two, unless we make the decision right now that Act One is a flashback, so that the beginning of the story is now instead of then.
Yep.
You forgive us?
Absolutely.
You turd!
I beg your pardon, guys?
You have no sense of accountability. You're like a child.
Well, if I'm a child, you're a child abuser. Nah, not cool, Annie.
You never just said, leave my hand where it is. I like it there. I demand it stay.
Because everyone complained about it.
Well, where's that commitment to spinelessness when we're all admitting we did stuff wrong?
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm a bad dean, okay?
No, that's what you always do. That's not a real apology.
Jeff?
I bet, shut up. Go flashback and cut to stuff. And you say you're sorry for buying a giant hand and letting it sit around until we had to deal with it, and say it without crying.
No! I'm an adult! And you can't make me not cry! You're all a bunch of bullies. And I will say I'm sorry however I want. And by the way, I'm not sorry! It's my giant hand, and I love it. We're not selling it.
Okay, this is like crate training a baby. Everyone suppress every instinct you have to let him out and sleep in bed with us.
Cold.
I know that's too hard for me, to be honest.
No. Yeah, he got himself into this mess. He should be dealing with it.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
It's not even apologize
for
it.
What did you... Not even to realize that he should be apologizing for it. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, he. What do you think of the 3 weeks earlier stick at the start?
I just love how they're all gone by the time he turned around.
Yeah. So then, Abed goes after the dean, and they he climbs up onto the top of the RV, of course. Because that's where the dean's hiding out, on top of the RV in the hand. But yeah, dean's pretty happy that they didn't send him after, Abed after the dean, because he can't cry anymore. Unless, you know, someone brings him some more, what do you call it, electrolytes. He thinks that the hand is pretty comforting, and that they could have put it outside the art department or biology or woodworking if we removed one of the fingers.
Jesus.
I love that that's the confidence he has. Yeah.
You
don't belong up here. It's not right that you're up here. Dean says, you get it, don't you, Abed? You know what's more important about the hand? It's like, no. I know what's important about the story. And he knows that we're structurally overdue for a disaster. Anyway, so the dean figures that, you know, the one person on his side is playing people chess. When something happens.
Don't move. What the hell else are we supposed to do?
Flashback with me.
What?
Just trust me. I said a flashback 3 weeks earlier. It's how this story begins. Close your eyes and concentrate.
And that solves the matter of the giant hand, if there's no other business.
Oh, there's some business.
Yeah, there's business. When we tie the hand to the roof, we'd like you to use extra thick straps, please.
Extra thick.
Extra thick straps?
Reinforced.
All right, meeting adjourned. Great.
Extra thick straps. Extra thick straps. Extra thick straps. Extra thick straps.
There, that should do it.
What should do it?
We made sure the straps were extra thick, remember?
No, I don't remember because it didn't happen.
What? Did something just fall off the roof? That's a really stupid question, Annie. Obviously something fell off the roof. The question is what?
Oh, so good.
What did you think it was, Britta? Jesus.
I love that so much. So anyway, they all rush out and start looking immediately for the dean. So then they start trying to lift the hand off, which I would have thought it wouldn't be that hard, because one, somehow they got the bastard up there, and
exactly.
And two, it's only fiberglass, like it's not that heavy.
Yeah.
They're trying to look for it. Britta and Annie have a bit of a tiff, and so Britta stops lifting for a little bit, and they get her back on side. Then the dean comes running around the corner and yells "screw you" at them as he enters back inside the other side of the RV, and locks them out. So, yeah, Annie apologizes to the dean and tells him that we love you. Elroy's pretty pissed because, you know, it's his house. And Frankie, reasonably, thinks that they're going to freeze to death. Britta reckons that if they're outside anyway, she calls the hand, because the fiberglass will preserve her body heat as she squeezes into the hollow of the palm. Jeff wonders what's wrong with him if he thinks that's hot. It's not incredibly sexy. So I don't know where he gets that from.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
So then Frankie tries to talk to the dean, because, you know, these temperatures are lowering our immune system in a world that is swarming with weird people as unvaccinated toddlers. No, Dean just tells him to deal with it.
What toddlers?
Yeah. Alroy's going to go around the other side, see if that door's locked as well. Then announcing that it probably undercuts his goals to announce it out loud, but he's a verbal thinker. Anyway, so he goes on for a while. So Britta tries still cowering up to the dean. But the dean's just not buying any of this. Just absolutely none of it. Until we get one from Jeff.
I don't know how ironic that is. No offense, Abed.
None possible.
Abed, you bonded with him. Talk to him. You're alone in the end zone. This ball is yours or nobody's.
I appreciate your appeal to my well-known passion for athletics and sarcasm, but I didn't actually bond with him. I almost killed him. My naive obsession with contrived flashback technique has kept me from being invested in any of this actual story. I mean, what was it even? A bunch of people in an RV? And I had the Christopher Nolan it?
Well, there you go. Now you can forget all about stupid 3 weeks earlier flashbacks and be a hero by joining us here in the moment and talking to the dean like a human.
That's my arc.
That's your arc.
Okay, here we go.
There's no other business.
I'd like to propose a heavy use of flashback in this episode. No, Abed, don't do it.
Thanks, Abed.
Stop that! Get your head out of your ass!
I don't know how. I'm oversaturated with the gimmick. I don't know what's real. I don't...
You're lying. You have to be lying. You enjoy this.
Stop it. What has gotten into you? Why are you shocked that he's alienated?
You get him to do something normal without abusing him.
Abed, listen. This is a flashback, remember? The real story is happening in the future. You actually flashed back to now to help us.
Okay, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's a pretty good suggestion, to be honest.
Yeah, good way to make it work because, Arvid was very, very annoying in this episode.
Yeah. So then we get a flash forward this time to 30 standard galactic time units later, where Arvid and Frankie are hanging out because Frankie wants to know what happened here. All those centons ago. That was so sad, so preventable, says future Arbed. Space Elder Arbed says, Frankie, can you reach backwards with your mind and save our species? Arbed can. And then Space Britta shows up and does exactly what you would expect Space Britta to do. Just be so out of the moment.
Yeah.
So then Arbed takes a stab at the problem.
I'm here now, child. All will be made right. Dean,
Arbed,
I have discovered the meaning of the giant hand. A hand has two functions, to grip and to release. But without both of these powers, it is useless. Like newborn infants, we grab what comes near us, hoping to control it, taste it, jam it into another child's eye. But the time we spend in control of our world is the time we spend letting go of others. Ideas, stories, pride, girls in soft sweaters, video games, buttered noodles. Grip one for too long and you lose so much that you've never held. This giant hand was sent to all of us as an invitation to increase our mastery over the power to hold on and let go.
sorry. Dummy.
Aww. Aww. No?
No.
No, Brad?
No.
No thoughts?
No. Just the way that the Dean just expects forgiveness without taking any responsibility. Like, the way he looks at Elroy, like, you can forgive me because I'm an idiot. No. I wouldn't be in this mess if you didn't waste the school's money on a stupid giant hand. They don't even have a giant watch for it.
Oh, yeah. So Elroy obviously comes back to that side and points out that the doors were locked on the other side too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, took you long enough. But Elroy didn't really care. He'd been off for a shit. But Eddie thinks you could lie then, but no, that's not where they're at. Jeff apologizes to Abed because he slapped him. We get a bit of a music montage as we go through. Anyway, so then Brittle wants to know where was Chang. He's like, oh, the reason that I'm covered in feathers is because we then just cut to the hand. This is back at Greendale, obviously. We cut to the hand with a bracelet that says, keep a loose grip. The hand is also in a familiar pose. How would you best describe it, Brad?
I don't know the best way to describe that one.
Most teenage boys might be somewhat familiar. Maybe that's the best way to put it. Yes. And then, of course, we get the credit scene. Now, unfortunately, this is a slightly long credit scene, but bear with us. I did cut less clips so I could make use of it. So, bear with us for the credit scene.
This is Blake, the gentleman to whom you're selling the giant hand. I am calling to confirm that you have the correct address. We live at the end of a long driveway, which often gets confused with a road. Anyway, it's been many hours since our scheduled appointment time. Again, it's Blake with the B, the purchaser of the giant hand. Bye.
They're not coming, are they?
I don't know, Karen. I left a message.
What are you going to do with...
What am I going to do with the giant watch? I don't know. I don't plan for failure.
Have you tried planning for success? Does everything you do your family have...
No. Finish your thought. Finish your thought. Does everything have to do with me purchasing oversized items on the internet? But that's not what this is really about, is it? It's not about a giant hand or a giant watch.
Please don't.
It's about a normal-sized son who disappeared, and it's all my fault because I gave him a giant kite!
Yes! How could you not make that connection? Why do you continue to buy giant-sized versions of everyday objects when they are the reason our son is dead?
Disappeared! Disappeared! They never found his body on the ground, which proves he's still up there waiting. He's waiting for a better daddy with a bigger hand.
Oh. Really? So then why the watch?
I thought it would look really cool.
I'm gonna walk the dog and eventually leave you.
I'll put the watch in the garage. Probably stop showering.
Brad, first thoughts on this episode as a whole?
Look, it's all right. It's not one that I'd actively go out and watch. It's not awful, but it's all right. I don't like the Dean in this one. I don't like Abed in this one, and they're the two main protagonists. It doesn't even really make sense, their whole story. Even like Abed's flashback story doesn't really make sense for me. So, yeah, it was okay. That's probably about it.
Yeah, I think this episode has its moments. There's certainly, you're right. I don't like the Abed storyline. It gets very graining very quickly. And I don't necessarily like the payoff is just not worth it. I think they missed the mark on this episode. Can kind of see what they're doing. It's a bit of a bottle episode without it being, you know, a sort of in a different bottle. But to me, it misses the mark. It just doesn't. It flows fine. I just don't necessarily find it very funny. There are parts of it that are funny.
Yeah.
But the whole storyline all the way through and as a continual arc, I just don't enjoy it. It just seems disjointed in a way. And, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I agree.
We don't have a Matt Gets It Wrong this week, because we're out of order and we only planned this within the last couple of days. I don't even know if Matt's seen the episode. I'm going to guess not. So we might still get a Matt Gets It Wrong for this episode if he doesn't watch it. I don't know.
Yeah, true.
Watch this space.
Yeah, we can do it watch in next week, last week's episode, and just have him say it, and then we're just telling him he's wrong straight away. That'll be fun.
Yeah. We also don't have an old white man says, because again, we don't know where he's at. Makes it really quick towards the end of this episode. But he
doesn't prepare very well.
No. But he spent all night preparing for a job interview. Apparently. I bet he's already asleep.
Yep.
However, we do, hopefully, get a Brad's Pick of the Week.
Yo, pop.
Easy, sugar bear.
You're into me.
I beg your unbelievable pardon.
Yeah, it was a bit hard to rate this week because I didn't like Abed, didn't like the Dean. Few people in religion didn't do much, so there wasn't a lot of characters I could throw the points to, but I gave 1 point to Jeff, 2 to Frankie, and 3 to Elroy. So gave 1 to Jeff because, you know, he was the one that was just trying to, like, get Abed back on track and, you know, stop his tedious flashbacking. But even though it didn't work, at least he was trying to. And he did apologize for hitting Abed in the end. Although I still hold that the whole group let the Dean off way too easy for this stupid giant hand. And he also loses some points for trying to, like, tell Elroy how to look after the car. But, you know, slim pickings this week. That's why he gets the 1 point. Gave 2 to Frankie because she was the one that was actually able to talk Arbit around, to talking the Dean around. So she got the 2 points there, and Although I think her phone manner would not work in any situation. It was still entertaining to watch her trying to get through on the phone. So that was at least certainly probably the only real entertaining part of the episode. And I gave three to Elroy because, yes, his calm, unhinged persona was very, very entertaining. And, yes, the way he treated Britta with giving her the smallest blanket, and he's not mad, he's disappointed.
Yeah.
And the use of the conventional weapons doesn't require electricity. Just some really good lines and some very good mannerisms. Really didn't come up with much towards the end of the episode, but the first part of the episode really won me over. And he gets the 3 points and the pick of the week.
Fair enough since
Matt's not here, did you want to do the red card there, Jack?
Oh, look, I'm going to give... It's got to go to Abed, doesn't it, this week? I got his stick. I don't think he landed it. You know, we've all been on a road trip and had someone a bit like that, and it can be painful if they just don't end the bit. So I'm going to give that... I'm going to give the red card to Abed, but I do also have a yellow card. I'm giving a yellow card to Britta.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to get high on a road trip, you got to bring enough for everyone. You can't just get high and just, you know.
Yeah.
It just doesn't play ball. Arbid gets a red and Britta gets a yellow.
Fair cool. Fair cool.
Oh, nice call, ref. Bite my banger.
The Duncan. Let's go now to our ratings, and probably not Matt.
You know who else it made sense to? Say Hitler one more time, and I'm giving you a 2.
Meow, 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 beans.
So first up, the community gave this one a 7.3 out of 10, and Jack and I, because his prediction that Matt didn't give a rating is bang on, we gave it a 3. So, yeah, middling episode, not the worst, but not great. Just another one of those middling episodes. But we're starting to run out of episodes this season, so I imagine they're only going to get better. Yes, I know we skipped an episode, but I quite enjoy episode 9, and I actually like all the episodes to come. It's going to be interesting to see what Matt thinks if he's on the episodes.
We do have some interesting ones coming up. It will be interesting to think about it. Obviously, we got we're now going to have probably guests 2 weeks in a row. We had staggered them out, but due to timing and stuff, it's not going to work out. So we will we'll see how we go. Hopefully we do get Chad next week.
Very nice.
Is there anything else that you'd like to bring up before we close this one out, Braddles?
No, that's me this week. Just make sure you come back next week and the return of Matt and the return of Chad. Probably look forward to the return of Chad more. It's always good value when Chad's on, although our guests are always good value. But make sure you come back for next week and the week after.
Yeah, definitely. That is roughly all we have. Go follow us on all the socials. Although I haven't managed to get us on Threads yet. I don't know how to do multiple profiles on a single Threads one yet. I did sign up for Threads today. How about you, Brad?
No, I haven't yet. I saw it was released, but then I Yeah, just didn't get a chance today.
So yeah, we're gonna see how that goes. So we might be on Threads soon. Watch this space.
Hey.
Otherwise, you have a good week. I'm definitely gonna have a good week, and we will see
you
next week to hear all about it.
Well, Jackson Jills, that's about all the time we have tonight.
Yeah, until next time, may your dreams be sweet and your nightmares be spooky, monster scary, and not Grandma died scary.
Troy and Abed in the morning.